I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
What comes to your mind when you hear the term, the good life? I know how our culture defines the good life, but you know I've discovered something. Their definition doesn't look so good when you begin to inspect it a little more closely. My friend, are you really interested in learning how to experience the good life? Great. I thought you would be, so I invite you to keep your radio tuned right where it is. You're listening to The Voice of Hope, and I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. Stay with me for the next half hour to learn about how you too can experience the good life. Right now, here's the voice of praise to tell us about one of the blessings of the good life.
Happy am I,
happy am I,
Jesus is mine forever,
never to leave,
always in each endeavor, leading me
on,
in a life ending never, giving a smile every mile, happy am I.
Sins forgiven.
What a great day.
What a great day.
Life is now worth the living.
One of these days, I'll be enjoying heaven.
Now that I know, upward I go, happy am I.
Happy am I,
am I,
how can I help but shout it
every day,
telling the world about it.
Jesus is real,
only believe, don't doubt it,
then you will be happy like me,
happy am I.
Then you will be
happy like me,
like me, like me.
Happy am I.
Thank you, men. Yes, what a privilege it is to be happy in the Lord. Last week on this program, we began a study from 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 to 7. Our study was titled, Experiencing the Good Life. Today we'll conclude that study, but before we do, I want to review just a bit. In the presentation last time, I noted that there are several levels at which we can experience the good life. The first level was domestic tranquility. We learned that God's prescription for His people to lead a quiet and peaceable life is rooted in His desire for all people to know Him. God wants to work through His people, that's you and me, to create an atmosphere that's conducive to the spread of the gospel. And according to our text, prayer is one of the vehicles that helps us to arrive at God's destination. We're instructed to pray for all people, and also for those who are in positions of authority and leadership. In a few moments, we'll continue our study by looking at two additional levels at which we can experience the good life. Right now, I want to read our text from 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 through 7. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, and I invite you to listen as I read the Word of God. I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Gracious Father, open our hearts and minds to receive your truth and to make application to our lives. Show us how to more fully experience the good life you have for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the presentation last time, I noted that there are several levels at which we can experience the good life. The first level was domestic tranquility. The next level is personal intimacy. I said at the beginning of this message that verse 4 was the key to this section of verses. It's God's desire for every person to have a relationship with Him. That's personal intimacy. This is at the core of experiencing the good life. You see, our prayers become a vehicle to further God's work here on earth. Warren Wiersbe said this about prayer. It's often said that the purpose of prayer is not to get man's will done in heaven, but to get God's will done on earth. And you know, one of the beautiful things about prayer is this: no one can stop you from praying. Oh, there may be people who won't allow you to speak to them about Christ, but you can still pray for them. Years ago, there was a young man named Reuben. He was raised in a Christian home, and yet he left that home and he lived a loose and immoral life. One night, he was so tormented in his spirit that he got out of bed and he was intending to commit suicide. And yet his mother, who was many, many miles away, was at that very same hour constrained to also get out of bed and pray for her wayward son. And instead of committing suicide, young Reuben fell to his knees in repentance, and he was gloriously saved. And he later became the very famous evangelist that we know as R.A. Torrey. When we obey this injunction to pray sincerely for all men, we are doing something that, according to verse 3, brings great joy to the heart of God. Don't you enjoy seeing the face of someone you love light up when you do something unexpected for them or you speak some encouraging words to them? I do. I really like to see that. It makes me feel good. I believe that's what happens to God's face when we pray fervently and live faithfully. He rejoices as we allow His love to flow through us and on out to others. Now let's examine the key verse, verse 4, a little more closely. It says, God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I was struck by the order of the words here. If I were writing this, I would have written that God wants all human beings to come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. But no, Paul puts salvation first and then the knowledge of the truth. As I meditated on that, I saw the wisdom of God revealed. Salvation comes first. Then through obedience to God's Word and the Holy Spirit, our spirits and our minds are enabled to understand the truth. Marilyn Prever put it this way: people who follow God's laws in a spirit of humble obedience find that their minds and hearts are gradually becoming open to more reality. None of us question the fact that sin has damaged our world because we can see its effects all around us. What's sometimes harder to see is the damage that sin has done to you and me personally. Yes, it's true, we are made in the image of God. But like every other human being since Adam and Eve sinned, we are marred, we are crippled, we are broken by that sin. That's our condition. And without God, it's terminal. There's no cure. The verb tense here reminds us